I was thinking as we were singing our songs this evening, seemed like Andrew did a great job of picking out some of the old favorites tonight, didn't he? We had, I think, about every one of them, except maybe that last one. You say, but what about the new songs? Well, we sing a lot of new songs too, but I think he did a great job of organizing a list of the old favorites for us tonight. Couldn't have been a better one for Mark. I turned around to see if he was awake when we were singing Amazing Grace. He was. Good job there, Andrew. You got to keep him on his toes, keep his eyes awake. But that was good. What's that? I know. I was sitting far enough up front that was okay that you were singing it. I know. Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer once again and ask Him to prepare our hearts for the time in His Word. We do thank You, Father, that we can be here this evening. We're thankful for songs we could sing, the messages of these old hymns, how they have blessed the hearts of multitudes of people down through the years. Songs that mean something, songs that exalt and glorify You. And we thank You for hearing how You're working in people's lives. Lord, You are a great God. And we thank You that we serve a living Savior. And we pray that You would be glorified in the time that yet remains. Lead and guide me in what I should say or not say. May Your blessing be upon Your word to our hearts. You don't bless men's words, You bless Your word. And so I pray, Lord, I might be faithful, true to You. We thank You in Your name. Amen. Well, as we think of our time this evening, and I know Andrew's looking for a title to write down on the message for tonight and for you note takers. Let's call this one Completing the Task. Completing the Task. Nobody likes a quitter, do they? They're not very popular. It's always an encouragement to see that someone has set out on something, especially when they find that maybe this hasn't been the easiest task, but to see when they have completed the task. Well, I want us to look this evening. Tonight's going to be one of those times where we're going to go from place to place. We're not going to be like we are in the morning services in the Book of Romans and stay there, but we're going to go to some different places in Scripture and take a look at, depending upon the time, three, maybe four individuals' lives, and we see these as some great examples of people who completed the task that they set out upon. The first one I invite you to turn with me to be Joshua 14, Joshua 14, verses 6 through 7. Joshua 14, 6 and 7. To bring you up to speed of what's going on in the book of Joshua, you recall that Moses was not able to enter into the promised land. He had sinned. God said, because of that sin, I'll let you look into the promised land, but I'm sorry, Moses, but you cannot lead the people in. I'm going to have your sidekick, your apprentice, the one that has worked with you, Joshua, the son of Nun. He will be the one that actually will take the children of Israel across. And the book of Joshua is an account of that, how that after Moses died, we find the book of Joshua is the record of the children of Israel actually beginning to lay claim upon the land that had been promised to them for well over, do you remember how many years? Wasn't just a year or two. How long had they waited? How long were they captive in Israel? 400. Pardon? I'm sorry, where did I say? Israel. I'm sorry. No wonder people just looked at me like, I didn't know they were captive in Israel. They were listening, Jerry. Thank you. In Egypt, about 430 years. How long were they in the wilderness? 40 years. They had waited well over 450 years to begin to inherit the land that had been promised. They had waited all that time. And we get into this 14th chapter, and we run across a name that you hadn't seen or heard for quite a while, but certainly a famous name. He was one of our famous duos, you recall, a number of weeks ago on our Wednesday night study. Joshua and whom? Caleb. These were the two of the 12 spies that gave a good report way back when they were in the wilderness. When Moses said, it's time for us to go in and conquer the land, they said, couldn't we send some men in and take a look first? They chose one man from each of the 12 tribes. They were in there 40 days. They came back. 10 of the men gave a glowing, gloomy report. Oh, we can't do this. Oh, why, we look like grasshoppers in the sight of those people. They've got walled cities. Oh, yeah, it's a good-looking place, but no way can we do it. Only two men, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can do it. This is great. Let's go. Well, normally the majority what? The majority rules. And the people listened to the ten, said, you men must have the best report. And so they had to spend those 40 years. But what's that have to do with Caleb? Caleb had been waiting patiently as the different tribes were getting their inheritance. And we come to the verses tonight, 6 and 7. And it says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me in Kadesh Barnea. That was way back there. He came up to Joshua, and he said, you remember what the Lord said way back there? And way back when we went across as the spies, we find that 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. We find that now Caleb in verse 10, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years. even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now I am this day 85. I'm 85 years old. What was the word that God had spoken? You go back to verse 8 and 9. My brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore, he promised to me on that day, 45 years ago, the land where you walked on when you were a spy, that's going to be your inheritance and your children's inheritance forever because you wholly followed the Lord. Well, he's waited 45 years, and now as the land is being distributed out and the different tribes are getting their inheritance, when the tribe of Judah came, from which Caleb was a member of, he came to Joshua and he said, you remember, don't you? Back then, when the people were telling, discouraging the people, Moses said, because you followed the Lord, because Caleb, you gave a good report, here's how God's going to bless you. When you went into the land and where you walked and the places that you saw and those things that brought to your mind the reporting, this is great, this is good, we ought to go, this is a great land, Moses told me, every place you were then, that'll be yours. And we find that at 85 years old, many would encourage Caleb, buddy, you're getting up there in years. Benny, how old are you? 85. Everybody look over there. Stand up, Benny, so they can see an 85-year-old man. That's how old Caleb was. Just like Benny. Now, Jonathan, that Denise gave a testimony, he's 96 and still serving the Lord. Many would have said to Caleb, oh, come on, you're an old man. I hate to say it, but that's what people kind of tell people when they get up there in those years, don't they? You're an old man, look. Your strength is shot. You've seen your better days. Why don't you just take it easy? And yet we find that he was very courageous to attempt a new step of faith. Let's read on. We left off at verse 10. We start at verse 11. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Somebody wrote a gospel song about that used those very words. I want that mountain. Remember that old one? That's where this came from. That was what prompted that songwriter. Whereof the Lord spake that day, thou heardst in the day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. Now, there is some courage for a task, isn't it? Come on, Caleb. Be real. You're old. And yet, it continues on. Joshua didn't read the same script that we do in this day and age, did he? Because what did Joshua tell him in verse 13? Joshua blessed him. He said, God bless you, Caleb. Lord bless you. Go for it. And he gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, Mount Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And so we find the first of our examples of someone who had completed a task, someone that was patient, someone that didn't give up on something that had been on his heart for many years. He remembered what Moses had said, and he was patient to wait the 45 years. And he didn't just assume because he was so old that he could not count on God. He said, I believe God can give this to me, and I want it. And Joshua blessed him, and guess what? He saw that come to pass. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, you don't need to turn to it. To the young ones, what about young ones? Do you have to wait until you're old to do something that counts for the Lord? No. Paul wrote to Timothy, and listen what he said to him in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise or look down upon your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. What's Paul saying here? God bless you, Timothy, because as a young man, you want to serve the Lord. What a blessing it is to see some of the few younger ones that we still have here at our church. We have one of our younger ones leading songs now. Half the Sunday nights, or half the Sundays of any given month. Let no man despise your youth. That's great that we have young ones that want to serve. We have younger ones that are taking part in the Sunday school opening on each Sunday morning. What a blessing that is to us old geezers, the fact that the younger ones are wanting to serve. We have younger ones that are serving in Awana. What a blessing that is. What's my point? You know, at whatever age you can do something for the Lord, do it. Do it. And trust God that He'll give you what it takes to complete the task. Let's go to a second example, though. Let's go from the book of Joshua to the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 8, Judges chapter 8. We find this is the on the heels of Gideon's great victory that's recorded in chapter 7. Remember when God produced that miracle? The Midianites, why, they were more than could be counted. And God raised up Gideon, and he said, I want to use you to bring about the victory. And it was a miraculous victory. Remember how that with 300 men, and they had lamps in clay pitchers, and each one had a trumpet in their hand. Chapter 7 records for us, God gave them the victory plans. He said, you quietly circle around the camp of the Midianites, and you have 100 in each group. And when the signal is given, every man break his trumpet. I'm sorry, not break his trumpet. Getting ahead of myself. Break the pitcher. Hold the pitcher up high. Every one of you 300 men, blast on your trumpets and yell out the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And it scared the Midianites half to death. It was dark. They did not have LED lights lighting the way around the camp. And it tells us that the men were so terrified that they fled in the darkness. They thought there must be hundreds, thousands of troops surrounding the city. But the Midianites began running. And it's a bit humorous because as they were running in the darkness, they didn't know whether this person that was close to them was friend or foe, and so it was every man for himself, and it was, I don't know if you're a friend of mine, but I'll just give you the sword, and most of them were slain, but a good group of them managed to escape the sword drill, and they got away, and Gideon and his men took after them. The last chapter, portion of chapter 7. Notice in verse 24, Gideon sent messengers. I'm in chapter 7 now, I'm sorry. He sent messengers throughout all Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters, and so on. He gathered. And he took the two princes of the Midianites, verse 25, slew them upon the rock. And we get on into chapter 8. And it says, the men of Ephraim said unto him, why have you called us, have you served us thus, that you did not call us when you went after the Midianites? How come you waited until now to call us? There in verse 24. And they did chide, they argued with him sharply. They were upset because Gideon did not call upon them when they went to war. And he said in verse 2, what have I done now in comparison to you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. Look, you got the leaders. That was great. What was that in comparison with what we did? And that calmed them down a little bit, it says there in verse 3. And Gideon came to Jordan, he and the 300 men that were with him. No, what's the next four words? Faint yet what? Pursuing them. Read between the lines. In everyday around the coffee table language, what's the situation here now with Gideon and his men? They've had it. They're whipped. They're tired. They would like to be able to sit down and have a breather, but there were still Midianites out there that had gotten away. And so what do we see about this group? These were the men who had been with Gideon in the famous battle, and we find that they were trying to round up the last ones. They did not give up. because they hadn't had a chance to have a shower, they hadn't had a chance to slow down, get something to eat, get a cup of coffee or two, and even they were getting discouragement from some of the men that were supposed to be their allies. But we see this group of men, because there was a job yet to be accomplished, we see in verse 4, his 300 men. And isn't it telling? Remember, how were these men selected? Who selected these men? God did. Remember, Gideon, when he said, I got a job to do, anybody that would like to go against the Midianites, and if I'm not mistaken, 32,000 said, we'll go. And God said, whoa, no way, way too many, because they'll get self-confident. And he said, send home anybody that's scared, anybody that has any little bit of trepidation, anybody that you're really not too eager to go to battle. And Gideon gave out the word, and I've often thought, what a discouragement that must have been to Gideon as he saw 22,000 men do. Whew. I didn't want to go anyway. And they turned around and they left. And that left him with 10,000 men. And then God said, oh, no, Gideon, I can't give you victory with 10,000 men. You'll still think. And he said, take them down to the river and give them a drink. Tell them to just get a drink. And you watch the men get a drink. And he said, the ones that drop down on their knees and basically bury their face in the river water, you set them over there. And he said, notice, if once in a while you see somebody who maybe stoops down a little bit. This is good with rotten knees. I better not get too close here in case I lose my balance and go forward. But these old knees don't work like they used to. He said, if you notice some of these guys, they stoop down and they reach down and they never take their eyes off the horizon and they bring the water up to their mouth and they lap it like a dog. He said, you set them over there. Well, when the 10,000 were done, there were only 300 men over here. Does that ring a bell? All the rest of them, 9,700 of them, had been careless. They couldn't care less. They had dropped down on their faces. The enemy could have ambushed them, but God said, there's your men. It's these men. I know their hearts. There's your men. Those are the ones that I'm going to give you the victory through. And so we find these men, God had specifically chosen them. They had proven worth their salt, hadn't they? Because they had battled all night, they had chased the enemy all night, and Gideon tried to get some others to help, and they refused. And we see verse 4, yet he and the 300 men that were with him, they were faint, yet they continued pursuing them. They did not quit. They did not say, you know what, we've done enough. Let's let somebody else do it. We've done our share. They continued on. We find two times they had been taunted, but they did not quit. What do you mean, two times? We move on. Now Gideon is moving on with these 300 men who are worn out. And he said, verse 5, to the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto my men that follow me. They be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand that we should give you bread to eat? Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then will I tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. They taunted them. What do you mean taunted them? He said, as they were chasing the men, they came to this next town, and he said, my men are hungry. We've been running all night. We've been fighting. Give us some bread. And they said, why should we give you bread? You don't have the battle won. You don't have the enemy captured. And Gideon said, well, if that's the way you want to do it, when we do capture them and we're on our way back, we'll show you our thanks. And you read the chapter and you read how he showed his thanks. I think the words that the Lord uses later on in this chapter, it's in verse 16. He took the elders of the city, these men that had taunted his men, and he took those elders outside the city limits, and with thorns of the wilderness, with briars, and with them he, I love that word, he taught the men of Succoth. You taunted us? Here, let me show you my appreciation for that. Well, once again, what do we see? We see Caleb, an 85-year-old man, willing to take on a task and finish it because he believed what God had said. God help us. With the book of Judges, Gideon and his men, they had fought, and they had fought long, and they were worn out, and there were even those that were taunting them. And yet, you know what? We didn't read that 8th chapter. Do you think Gideon and his men caught up with the men they were chasing? Sure they did. They completed the task. When the men were so tired, it says they were faint, but what do you do when you're faint? I've been at this job. I've had this class so long. I've had this Awana group. I'm tired of it. Yet, what do we see here? They pursued on and finished the task for the Lord. Well, that's only 2 of 4. How about you come back next week and we'll take a look at the other 2, okay? Is that a deal? Sounds like a good deal. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed with prayer. Thank you, Father, for these examples. We haven't really expounded much from your word. We have been, though, blessed by examples. And we are taught by these examples. We are challenged by individuals. These were men of flesh and blood, just like we are. They had the same needs, the same wants, the same desires that we have. But Lord, we thank you for the testimony of Caleb, how that he was willing to trust you. You had made a promise to him through Moses 45 years earlier. And as an 85-year-old man, he had faith to trust you, that you were going to fulfill your word, and you did. And then we think of Gideon and his men, taunted by others around them, tired. Nobody would have thought a thing if they would have just given up and said, well, we got most of them. But these men knew the job was not yet done, and they pursued, though they were faint-hearted, but not faint in spirit, and they completed the task. Lord, may you find us faithful. May we stick with it to your glory and honor. Give us safety as we travel home. I don't know how much snow has fallen while we've been here. Lord, if the roads are slippery, keep each of our folks safe as they make their way home. In your name we pray. Amen.